Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, Ben, for the final time, please stop calling me boy.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Your Ben Jarofsky Show for Friday, January 10th. Happy Friday. Is moments away, but before we get going, we need to thank the following unions for sponsoring this program. Unions like the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, not Aerosmith, Local 126 and District 8, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150 sponsor this program, as well as our good friends at the Chicago Federation of Labor. All right, so the audio's good, but now I guess the video's blurry. I'm getting Brian the video tech in here as we get today's show going. By the way, if you're in a union or you own a business and you want to sponsor this program, we'd love to have you. Unless you're running some shady operation, then I don't know, you can keep your money. But if you're listening and you'd like to sponsor, boy, reach out and we'll make that happen. All right, Ben, hit him with that song of the day.
I heard this song coming into work today when I was driving. My hands went on a wheel, but that's not the song I'm going to sing. It's just another brick in the wall. Turns out you know the song. I was shocked.
Yeah,
way
Pink
before
Floyd.
Your time. Man, I love that song. What a great song. And what's the last line? It goes, how can you eat your pudding if you haven't eaten your meat? What is the line?
I don't know. It sounds gross.
Frank's got to know that. You can't have your pudding unless you've eaten your meat. Whatever.
Aren't you glad you got audio now, guys? All right. Your Ben Jarofsky Show.
That's funny, man.
The Ben Jarofsky Show starts right now. Thank goodness it is Friday, January 10th. And live from the Chicago Sun-Times Chicago Reader Studio on Racine Avenue, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show. Ben, it's, hey, how can you have your pudding if you haven't eaten your meat?
Yes, who said that?
That's Steven.
Steven.
Today on the program, it's another Ramana Rundown with Sun-Times editor Ramana Hussein. The Illinois political know-it-alls Dan Pogoshelsky and Jacob Kaplan return, and it's the return of McHenry County Committeeman Peter Janko. And now your host, Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Emperor Trump Friday. And here's why. So the week began, D, with the discovery. Well, the discussion, we already discovered it, that our president, Donald Trump, the man that America decided was most qualified and best suited to lead the free world. Don't blame
no collusion.
Me. I didn't vote for him. The man that America decided, one more time, no collusion, to lead the free world and decided it was a good idea to assassinate the top general in Iran. And a country we're not currently at war with, though if President Trump gets his way, it may end up in a war with Iran. Anyway, Trump's assassination of General Soleimani raised all kinds of important constitutional questions, such as, does the president have the right to kill the leader of a country, even if we're not at war with that country? If the president does have the right to do so, is he obligated to let Congress know, that would be the other branch of government, in on his plans before he executes them? Three, has he given any thought to the collateral consequences of killing the top Iranian general? You know, like, will this lead to a counterattack by Iran? If so, where will that counterattack come from?
You said that was number three, right?
Yes.
Who
will pay the consequences for him deciding that it was a good idea just on his own to kill the top general in Iran? So was there any kind of study, investigation, discussion, analysis, anything remotely resembling a thought before he decided it was a good idea to kill the top general in Iran. Well, here we are at the end of the week, and the president has weighed in with some answers to these all-important questions. His answers come in the form of a speech he gave at a campaign rally yesterday in Ohio, and it didn't get a lot of coverage. This country is becoming curiously indifferent to the campaign rallies of Donald John Trump, the man that we decided was a good idea to have run the free world. My knowledge of the rally comes in the form of an article that appeared in today's Chicago Sun-Times. Trump, killing of Soleimani was, quote, American justice. So that answers our first question. Does he have the right? Yes. He declares he has the right to do it. It is called American justice. All right. Does he have to alert Congress? And if so, where? What constitutional provision can he cite to say he has the right to do this unilaterally without congressional approval? And he weighs in saying, yes, he has the right. And no, he doesn't know if there's a constitutional proviso that says he has the right because he doesn't care. Here's exactly what he said. Quote, we got a call. We heard where the general was. He knew the way he was getting there. I have no idea what that means. We didn't have time to call Nancy. That would be Nancy Pelosi, who isn't operating with a full deck. Ah, there we go. She's not operating with a full deck. By the way, while he's at it, he's going to make fun of Adam Schiff, who has nothing to do with the killing of Soleimani, but, of course, is the head of the House Intelligence Committee, which was overseeing the impeachment process. And he says about Adam Schiff that he has a pencil neck. All right. So if he has decided that the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is what, how's he put it, is not operating with a full deck, and if he has decided that Adam Schiff has a pencil neck, then he is not obligated to tell them at all about his plans to kill the top general in Iran regardless of the consequences. He's president, so he gets to say so. Did he consider the collateral damage? No. For that matter, my friends, he didn't consider anything. He said he was given the word that where the general was, and he said that's within my right to kill the general, and if you don't like it, F you. Essentially, that speech yesterday was two giant middle fingers raised in the air to the Democrats, to Congress, to American people, to anybody who dares to disagree with them. It's arrogance, but this is why the president is so arrogant. I can almost understand why the president is so arrogant. He's very confident. Our system of government, in our electoral system, it's not popular vote. It is, of course, electoral college. President Trump has figured out, doesn't take much, to that he has virtually the election sewn up because, what, four-fifths of the electoral votes are under his control. The election will come down to essentially three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. As long as he's persuade most of the people in those states to vote for him, it doesn't matter how many people in California or Illinois or even Texas, for that matter, vote against him. He gets to be president of the United States. He lost the last election by 3 million votes. He could lose this election by 10 million votes. It won't matter. He's free to do whatever he wants, regardless of what the majority of the people in this country say, because of our system of government, folks. First thing I would advise Democrats is to do something about that system of government. And, of course, that's the last thing on their mind. They're not paying attention to it at all. I guess they're hoping that what? They can just outlast Donald Trump as he gives them the middle finger. Let's review. Congress has subpoenaed documents and witnesses from the Trump administration. He has defied those. Congress has insisted that he should notify them in advance of his intentions to kill top generals of countries throughout the world. He's defied them. Moreover, he's declared that he's the right to kill absolutely anyone in the world, regardless of the consequences or the blowback or what the Constitution says about the division, the different branches of government. He has that right because he has given it to himself, apparently, and he's very confident that the American people, at least the American people who live in states like Wyoming, Alabama, Idaho, Montana, what else, Louisiana, South Carolina, apparently these are the only states that really matter in our country anymore. He feels he has the right to do whatever he wants because the voters in those states will re-elect him. And it doesn't matter what people in Illinois or California or New Jersey or New York have to say. That's just the way it is. He's our emperor, folks. We didn't elect a president. We elected an emperor. We now live in the kingdom of Trump. We got a great show today, everybody. Ramana Hussein will be here from the Chicago Sun-Times. Yes, indeed. It's another Ramana Rundown. We have a lot to talk. We'll talk about the pending defamation case against Donald Trump. This didn't get a lot of news. It's sort of been lost in the shuffle. But a writer named E. Jean Carroll, has accused President Trump of raping her. Trump laughed her off, dismissed her, said she was a crackpot, et cetera, and so forth. She countered with a defamation lawsuit against Trump. Trump immediately moved, had his lawyers move to have the case dismissed on a technicality having to do whether or not he made the comments in New York, because that's where the case was filed. The judge in New York ruled against Trump. The case is pursuing. So it's an interesting one more thing for the Republicans to consider. We were talking yesterday about the Democrats. Here's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. We were talking yesterday about the story that's breaking here in Chicago and Illinois about Michael McClain, who was a confidant to Michael Madigan, writing 7 years ago an email on behalf of some unknown employee in the bowels of Patrick Quinn's administration, saying he helped with containing news about a rape in Champaign. Democrats everywhere throughout the state, myself included, are calling for an investigation. Let's see what this is about. Did Democrats bury evidence of a rape in Illinois? That's how Democrats treat allegations of rape. On the Republican side, the President of the United States, the most powerful man in the country, the leader of the Republican Party, the man with whom to whom the Republicans bow down in deference, has been accused of rape. What are Republicans doing? Absolutely nothing. They continue to bow down to him. So it's a very interesting contrast between how Republicans and Democrats respond to allegations of rape. We'll be talking about that with Ramana Hussein. Peter Janko will be here at McHenry County Democratic Committee. But he's bringing a mystery guestee. Peter just returned from Iowa. Huge Bernie fan. We don't have enough Bernie fans on this show, huh, D? We're reaching out to Joe Biden people. Come on. Can we get any Joe Biden people out there? Peter,
Pat Quinn.
The aforementioned, we should bring Pat Quinn back and talk to him, if nothing else, about what went down 12 years ago with that matter of the alleged rape in Champaign. We should bring Pat Quinn back. Yes, good idea.
There's an alderman, too. Rod Sawyer.
Rod Sawyer is another Joe Biden. We can reach out to Rod Sawyer, see if they come on and defend old Joe Biden. Grandpa Joe, as Dennis likes to call him. Dennis is becoming more and more of a fan of Joe Biden as the days pass. Anyway,
I tell you, you just paint a lot of pictures for old Dennis. I love Mayor Pete. Joe Biden's my guy.
And don't forget, who else do you love? I can't remember at the moment. Anyway, Michael Bloomberg. You're a big, huge on Michael Bloomberg. Yeah. And so Peter Janko will be coming in and talking about, among other things, Bernie in Iowa. And then the political know-it-alls. We'll close out there. I love it when the political know-it-alls come in. Jacob Kaplan and Danny Pogoshelsky. And we'll be talking about the way delegates are selected. We're going to take a deep dive in delegate selection, nominating, petition challenges, real geeky political stuff that you got to know if you want to know how the game is played. So the political know-it-alls will be here, and they'll be sharing their knowledge of the political system with you. But before we do any of that, the young man from Alton, Illinois, the man who is widely known throughout the state of Illinois these days as Dr. Doobie with the news.
We're just leaning in on that one in the year 2020, huh?
In the year 2020.
How's it going, everybody? Name's Dennis. Not a doctor, not Dr. Doobie, none of that, just Dennis. All right, let's find out what's happening in Chicago and or Illinois this afternoon. And today on the program, we are going to all of our friends on the Benny J Show live stream chat. By the way, if you're listening via download at the moment, thank you. But we encourage you to join us live sometime. We go live on the Chicago Sun-Times YouTube channel Tuesdays through Fridays, 1 until 3 p.m. Central Time. Put us on while you're at work. If you can, please don't get fired listening to us. Or if you just find yourself with a day off of work, join us for a live Ben Jarofsky show. Hear the bad or awkward parts that I edit out. And if you're feeling crazy, say hey to Steven, Brianna, Pat Rod, Kyle, and the rest of the crew. Participate in the live stream chat. We talk politics. We have trolls every now and again. We make fun of Ben. Sometimes there's no audio. I panic. I fix it. The video is apparently blurry at the moment. I get called Dr. Doobie. It's a great time.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. D.
All of it.
And White Lightning.
Never Dennis. Once again, Tuesdays through Fridays, 1 until 3 p.m. Central Time on both Chicago Reader and Sun-Times websites and the Chicago Sun-Times YouTube channel. All right, so to those currently with us in the chat, we'd like you to help us out. And if this goes well, we'll make this a reoccurring thing. So don't screw it up, guys. I have no public events listed this afternoon for our Democratic Illinois Governor, J.B. Pritzker. It's a rainy Friday afternoon. Live stream chat, we're going to you. Tell us, what is J.B. Pritzker doing at this moment, right now? What is J.B. Pritzker doing right now? That's the question we're asking you on the live stream chat. We'll be reading your comments after the news. And speaking of, it's time for a 2020 Cook County State's Attorney Candidate Update, Ben.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in case you weren't aware, when it comes to the 2020 Cook County State's Attorney election, oh, it's on. Through two campaign ads in the span of 7 days and, of course, a crap load of money, one candidate this week officially moved to the head of the pack as the top challenger to incumbent Kim Fox. He's Bill Conway. He's a former assistant state's attorney under Richard Devine and Anita Alvarez, a former U.S. Naval Intelligence officer, and if you ask this podcast producer, he's a bro. And people, the bro train came barreling through Cook County this week, and it ain't stopping, baby. We have now learned that according to the latest filings with the Illinois State Board of Elections, Mr. Conway has received an additional $650,000 in campaign cash from his billionaire father, of course. It's Bro Daddy.
Bro Daddy.
Bro Daddy Bill Conway Sr.
Bro Daddy.
Yeah, the hefty donation comes.
Isn't that a song?
No.
Oh.
The hefty donation comes 3 months after William Conway gave $500,000 to his son's campaign to defeat Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox in the Democratic primary on March 17th. William Conway, a.k.a. Bro Daddy's donations to his son's campaign, now totals at $1,150,000.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is. Campaign records show that Bro Daddy's latest donation has helped his son raise $701,600 in just 1 week from November 8th to the 15th. And the last big donation Fox received was from businessman Elsie Higginbottom.
So oh, Elsie Higginbottom. Man. Used to be one of my bosses.
Well, that's a Kim Fox update there.
Yeah, Elsie Higginbottom used to own the Chicago Reader.
Now, on Thursday, we heard the latest campaign ad from Conway, an ad reminding us of the time that Kim Fox kept $30,000 in campaign contributions from a 2016 fundraiser hosted by the now indicted 14th Ward Alderman, a.k.a. the guy who shook down a Burger King in his ward, Ed Burke.
Would that be Ed Burke?
That'd okay. be Ed Burke. All old right. Burger King Burke.
Burger King Burke.
And the state's attorney
have
has
it your way.
You know,
Kim, is that Burger King or McDonald's?
That's Burger King.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you remembered something. Way to go, Benny J.
Have it your way. And then it's like you could have the cheese or not the cheese. Ed Burke had it his way. Give me the campaign money.
And some chicken nuggets. All right.
That's your guy, Chicago, Ed Burke.
So, yeah, State's Attorney Kim Fox hasn't necessarily made the wisest political decisions. Obviously, there's that mishandling of the Jesse Smollett case. And with this Burke ad, Fox kind of pitched Bill the Bro a giant softball there. And please don't get me started on how much bros love softball.
I'm not even sure what a bro is.
I'm
really struggling with that one. I'm really trying to. I was asking you and Miles to help me out.
We gave you answers.
What's the difference between a bro and a hipster?
A bro and I said it the other day. A bro makes sure to bathe every day.
Okay.
Hipster will skip a shower every now and again. You know what I mean?
Well, that sounds about right. How does a okay? Here we go. How would a bro respond to the alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon?
How would a bro respond to the alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon? Oh, man, that's a great business opportunity.
And how would a hipster respond to the alligator in the Lincoln, the Humboldt Park Lagoon?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. Hold on. Let me pull it up real quick. This is how they'd respond.
I've seen a whole lot of catfish, some turtles. No gators yet, though.
See the distinction? Kind of just like a mellower thing. Which one is more likely to smoke reefer?
Both of them.
Okay.
In 2020, both of them.
All right. So, and again, I stand by what I say. You know, I was roundly criticized on this yesterday. I'm taking the strong stands. Bros like Hootie and the Blowfish. All right? There we go.
Hootie and the Blowfish. All right. Dragon Slayer 19, what's up, man? He says, Dennis is a bro, Ben is a hipster.
Hey, I bathe every now and then, all right? What are you saying, I smell?
But hey, good news, Kim Fox fans. The incumbent came back with a new campaign ad of her own on Thursday.
Okay.
Ben, tell us your thoughts of yesterday's ad. Well, on
I'm
going
to tell you
Ed
my
Burke.
Thoughts. I've been thinking about this, and I'm going to talk to Ramon Hussein about this at greater length. I do not understand, in all deference to Bill Conway and his dad, I do not understand why they would choose this election of all elections to introduce themselves to the voters of Cook County, City of Chicago. If you have political aspirations, I understand it. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He's an intelligent young man. He has a great resume. He served our country. He went to law school. Smart guy, right? So his father has money, and he's a Democrat. So he has a political future. It's like, he kind of reminds me in some ways of your favorite presidential candidate, Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, sure. Love him. He's great.
I just do that. I'm sorry. I won't do that anymore. But anyway, he kind of reminds me of Pete Buttigieg, a very smart, young, ambitious politicians. And there's no problem with that. That's how you get ahead in this country. And I fully applaud them. Why would you run, having said all that, against Kim Fox, knowing that you're not going to get black support in Cook County or at the city of Chicago, that she's going to be the recipient of the black support in this area, largely because she's been a champion of alternative justice in our country, instead of just throwing people in jail randomly, you try to avoid jail time. This is a movement that's developing throughout the country, not just in Cook County or Chicago. It's a lot of activists in the Democratic Party believe it. The black communities of Chicago have been hit hardest by the war on drugs, the unfair war on drugs. We're moving away from the war on drugs, at least in the state of Illinois. We've legalized marijuana. The opposition to Kim Fox is largely rooted in Donald Trump's base. White voters. It's a backlash to how she handled Smollettgate. And Smollettgate is rooted in all kinds of symbolism having to do with Donald Trump. Jussie Smollett made up a crime allegedly perpetrated by a couple of Trump supporters. Weren't they wearing MAGA hats, D? So as soon as he made up that crime, all the Trump supporters joined in supporting the investigation into Smollettgate, and they turned against Eddie Johnson, who was the former police chief of the city of Chicago. They turned against Kim Fox. All right, so that's democracy. That's how it breaks out, democratically speaking. But why would you join forces with them if you want a future in Cook County in Chicago politics? You see, this is a racially divided issue. Why would you? I just don't understand. I don't know who gives the young man advice. It just seems to me, just on the basics, this campaign will largely come down to sort of a symbolic referendum. Ramon Hussein has entered the room, so this is excellent because she can hear me set up our discussion will take place in a little while. This election between Conway and Kim Fox has come down to more or less your opinion about Donald Trump. In just the most basic, general ways. I do not understand what advice he was getting. Of course, I never met him, so he never came to me for advice. And he probably wouldn't take my advice if he came to me. I'm not sure any political, young political wannabe would listen to me. But I just really do not understand the most basic, fundamental way. This is coming down to a race, which is essentially going to be about your opinion of Donald Trump. That's basically what's at issue in the Kim Fox reelection campaign. And I do not know why any Democrat would want to go into a race where it more or less looks like he's an ally of.
Here's the latest ad from Kim Fox.
The tower I grew up in wasn't made of ivory, and poverty and gun violence weren't just on the news. I'm Kim Fox, and that's why my work as state's attorney has taken on violence and injustice, putting more resources to prosecute violent crime and guns, taking on the NRA, and prioritizing justice reform, not jail time for minor offenses. For so many, it's crucial we get this work done. For me, it's personal we get it right.
All right, that's Kim Fox. We're going to bring Ramona Hussein on after this break and get her talking about what she thinks about that commercial. But
we got to read our live stream comments here. Remember I said that when J.B. Pritzker, what is J.B. Pritzker doing today?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a few people weighing in, and people also weighing in on the difference between a bro and a hipster. Please pay attention this time. Right, we were telling you yesterday.
Look, I'm taking notes. Go.
All right, great.
We're going to ask Romana what she, the difference between a bro and a hero. That's, I'm going to put that on my list. Wait, don't do it.
I don't think there's much difference, actually.
All right, hold your thoughts.
First off, what Jamie Pritzker is doing today. Brianna in Chicago says he's at Lowe's buying toilets. Okay, Brianna.
The toilet gate jokes. Right. That's left over from last year or 2 years ago.
All right, I'm gonna keep the question open. We got a lot of foul answers there that I can't really say on the program. So hey, if you're listening right now, tell us what you think. JB, no public event scheduled today for JB Pritzker. So help us out. What is JB Pritzker doing today? All right, now the difference between a hipster and a bro. All right. As we know, Bill the Bro Conway running for Cook County State's attorney. And we've been just trying to figure this out. Brianna weighed in again here. She says, bros have high-paying gigs, wear expensive shoes slash clothes, and buy all them high-rise apartments downtown. Ben and Dennis equal hipsters, not bros.
I'm a hipster. Isn't there like an age limit on being a hipster? I'm too old for a hipster. I'm an oldster.
So do you know or do you not know the difference between a hipster and a bro?
I'm starting to see a distinction that people are making.
I don't think they're that different.
For me, I buy clothes at Goodwill. I get those clothes. Maybe I am wearing one of Bill Conway's shirts right now.
Bill Conway owned that shirt 10 years ago.
Maybe. So let's see here.
They just have more facial hair, but it's kind of the same.
Wait, time out. Who? Hipsters?
Hipsters.
Don't bros have goatees?
Okay, bro-tees.
No, wait, time out. Aren't bros the ones that this is something? That guy, okay, help me out, Romana. American Idol. The guy who's the sidekick, who interviews people.
I never watched that show.
I'm looking around. I mean, isn't his name Ryan?
Oh, you're thinking of Ryan Seacrest?
Yes. Okay. Isn't that a bro? Isn't that the quintessential bro?
Really bro.
Live stream chat, is Ryan Seacrest a bro? Weird. Yes or no?
Yeah, and he has that, like, bros, they don't...
You're thinking clean shaven.
No.
Preppy.
Bros, okay, here's the thing that bros do. Instead of growing a full beard, what they do is they have this look that looks like it's a beard, but it's not really a beard. And so it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm just a manly guy. And my hair grows in. And, oh, boy, Seacrest has that. D, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's not a beard, but it's like...
Stubble?
It's not. It's like a little beyond stubble. You know who else does it? I think the guy's talented. Paul Rudd. Is Paul Rudd a bro? Yes.
He's more of a hipster bro.
I give up.
Shout out to KMA. I think it's best you just give up. KMA Barry has weighed in. He said, J.B. Pritzker is at home striving for perfection.
I'm not a perfect person.
That's excellent.
And he also said that J.B. Pritzker, we're getting some ones that aren't so foul-mouthed. He also says that J.B. Pritzker is trying to milk that butter cow.
It's the butter cow, which has nine parts to represent the nine essential nutrients and milk. That's right. It's made entirely out of butter. And, it's a state fair tradition since at least 1922.
All right.
What is J.B. Pritzker doing right now? Weigh in on the YouTube live stream chat. And we'll keep you posted on our new character here on the Ben Jarofsky Show, Bill the Bro Conway and Bro Daddy, Bill Conway Sr. We'll keep you posted on those stories as today's program rolls along. Don't go anywhere. It's the Ben Jarofsky Show live from the Chicago Sun-Times.
The Ben Jarofsky Show is supported by Northwestern University's part-time master's program in literature and liberal studies. Students learn from dynamic and diverse faculty as they build advanced skills for critical analysis, writing, and research. Evening classes are held on Northwestern's Evanston and Chicago campuses. The spring quarter application deadline is January 15th. Learn more at sps.northwestern.edu/masters. Read the Chicago Reader to get up to speed on what's what in Chicago. Culture, food, arts and entertainment, weekly concert listings, weekly event listings, the environment, travel. I can continue, but you get the point. And for all of you Chicago political junkies, raw weekly columns on real city politics from Maya Dukmasova and our very own Ben Jarofsky. The Chicago Reader, free to the public in newsstands throughout the city and online at chicagoreader.com. Read it now and be a more informed Chicagoan.
Welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show, live from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Romana is staying with me in the studio every Friday. It's the Romana Rundown. And we're going to put aside our great debate on what's the difference between a bro and a hipster. Although I stand by what I said, there's that style that bros have where they want to look as though, and there's nothing wrong with the style. I'm not making fun of the style.
They're just more clean cut.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about, where they kind of like grow the face, the hair.
You're talking about the meticulous facial hair where they have a goatee, but it's not a regular goatee, but it's really close to the face and it's like geometrical. It's not all goatee bros.
Okay, now there is a look.
You're talking about that 5 o'clock shadow look.
But they want to have the 5 o'clock shadow at like 8 in the morning. Okay. Right. So is a bro thing.
We got someone on the line who may be able to help us find out what is the difference between a hipster and a bro. Is he a hipster? Is he a bro? I'm not sure. Maybe we'll find out.
I can look at them and.
You know,
it's our good.
Women are harder to deduce.
It's our good friend Pat Whalen on the line. He wants to tell us about a show he has tonight. Pat, are you there?
I'm here, and you know I've been called a lot of worse things than a broster, but I think I walk that line. I'm right in the middle, you know. I have an 8 a.m. shadow at 5 p.m. is how I play it. It's a little different.
All right, Pat. Tell people what you got going tonight. It's a big deal in my humble opinion.
Oh, it is tonight. Ben, it's tonight. Oh my God. Okay. Well, you know, for those of you that don't know, I'm Pat Whalen. I host Good Evening with Pat Whalen, where Chicago's only late night talk show news alternative. And what that means is something that we're going to explore a little further tonight on CAN TV. So this is public access television. They have cameras. They have microphones. It's very exciting. And even more exciting is this excellent lineup of guests returning to the Good Evening stage, even though it's a different stage. I digress. CJ Run, an excellent performer. Rapper, activist. You can look their feature that came out in the Chicago Tribune in 2019. And I'll also be joined for an interview with Alderman Andre Vasquez of the Chicago City Council. It's going to be an hour-long show. We'll be on all the CAN TV channels. We'll be streaming on Facebook. We'll be streaming on their website. And we'll also be live. And I think there are a couple seats left if anyone wants to send an email to rsvp@cantv.org. We're happy to accommodate as many as we can while keeping the fire marshal happy. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, Ben. There's a lot going on. And all I got to say is this 7 p.m. start time means one thing. Ben Jarofsky's coming on the show in the near future.
All right. And Romana Hussein will be on. I'm going to encourage you to have Romana and Mick Dumke as a political tag team. They're a lot of fun to have on together. Romana Hussein and Mick Dumke, her husband, who's not a hipster.
Yes, he is.
So do you need a ticket to get in, Pat? Do you need to have a ticket in advance to get into the show?
You get your ticket through said email. And that address, again, is rsvp@cantv.org, and they will send you an email back that says you are good to go. We might be passing a bucket for a suggested donation tonight, but you know, this first one is on the house. We just want to see how it goes and how many folks we can get to come down to 1309 Southwood, roughly at Roosevelt and Ashland, to join us for episode 42, the special televised edition of Good Evening with Pat Whalen with Alderman Andre Vasquez and CJ Run. Tonight at 7 p.m., don't you know? I got to set my TiVo. I got to find my TiVo first, but we're going to make that happen.
All right. Thank you very much, Pat. And that's Pat Whalen. He's been on the show more than a few times. And best of luck to you. Break a leg, as they say. And I do hope that Romana Saint and Mick Dumke make that show sometime, because they're pretty funny when they're together. All right, Romana, let's get down to business. Wow, where do I start with this one? More serious tone. Two rape cases in politics emerging at the same time, not getting a whole lot of attention, not the attention they warrant. One has to do in Illinois, having to do with an email that Michael McLean wrote. Mike McLean, who was a confidant, a former aide and ally of House Speaker Michael Joseph Madigan, and the other dealing with the President of the United States. Pretty serious accusation of rape against the President of the United States, getting almost no attention. So why don't we start with the President of the United States? E. Jean Carroll has accused the President of rape, and there was a development on this case this week. Why don't you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, E. Jean Carroll is an advice columnist for Elle magazine, which I have been subscribing for since the mid-90s, full-time subscriber. And basically, they were one of the first magazines, I think, that featured women of color. Like, they kept consistently. But anyway, I get the magazine, so I definitely knew who she was when the allegations came out. I think she wrote an essay, or was it an excerpt from the book that came out, where she talked about the different men in her life that were jerks. And then she mentioned that she was sexually assaulted by the now president of the United States, Donald Trump, in the mid 90s. And I think it was in a department store. Yes. Mm-hmm. Bergdorf Goodman, mm-hmm. I think.
In New York.
I don't know. I know store, but I don't think they have one in Chicago. Anyway, so Donald Trump basically denied that this happened. He denied the allegations. And so she, in November, filed a defamation lawsuit saying that his denials are it's hurting her career and hurting her reputation. So yesterday, in state Supreme Court in Manhattan, the judge basically rejected Donald Trump's lawyer's motion to drop the case, I believe. Was it to drop the case?
Dismiss
the case. The argument was that he didn't live in New York at the time, and he hasn't lived in New York, or didn't live in New York at the time, or didn't live in New York at the time the allegations were made.
Yes.
And I thought it was interesting that the judge basically mentioned Donald Trump's Twitter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Twitter activity, and basically said besides just saying that he didn't, do it, or just this, whatever the lawyer said, he said, I think he, was it a she?
Yeah, it was a she. The judge was a woman.
That Donald Trump not even had a tweet, much less an affidavit. So I think the case is still pending now in court. And then apparently there's reading the article that you sent me from the New York Times, there is another defamation lawsuit by a woman who said that she was sexually assaulted by Donald Trump. So there's two pending cases of defamation against Donald Trump, and they're still pending right now. So it's pretty interesting. And then E. G. Carroll did tweet. She wrote, "We move ahead." Yeah, I think it was all in all caps.
Well, so what happened was Donald Trump's denial went as typical Donald Trump. I talked earlier at the start of the show about the campaign rally he had yesterday in Ohio. I think it was yesterday, where he felt compelled not just to justify assassinating the top general in Iran, but to mock any congressperson.
It's Iran, by the way.
Oh, my bad.
I corrected someone earlier this week. I was laughing about it.
What did I say?
Iran. It's okay. So, most people...
Iran. So he said it's that he has the right to assassinate the general. He has the right to assassinate pretty much any leader he wants to assassinate if he views it as a danger, a detrimental to the United States' interests. And if you dare to disagree with him, he will mock you and make fun of you. And so that's his attitude about congressional critics of his foreign policy. When it came to E. Jean Carroll, he did not only just deny that her allegations that he had raped her, but he mocked her and made fun of her and said she's not even the type of woman that I would be attracted to, as though would have raped somebody if he was attracted to them. So this is the president of the United States responding to a very serious allegation against him regarding sexual assault. And that was the basis for her filing the defamation suit because he completely trivialized her, mocked her, maligned her. And Trump's response, as you pointed out, was, well, it wasn't to deal with the merits of her accusation. It was a technical thing. I was literally not in the state of New York when I said those things. She filed the case in New York. So therefore, if I wasn't in the state, it doesn't.
It was on a technicality that his lawyer filed this lawsuit. It's interesting. I think she did talk about the allegations in the magazine in a follow up. Before she answered, readers, letters, I think there was some little blurb that she had. It was really short, but I remember her talking about it.
So what do you
I had to explain to my husband who she was, because he didn't know who she was. It's probably the first. I always know personalities and celebrity and.
But he knew about the accusations.
He knew about the accusations, but I was telling him, E. Jean Carroll writes for this column that I write. I read.
So then we have the situation that developed yesterday. We talked a lot about it. Dan Mialopoulos was on the show from WBEZ. Actually, that interview will air tomorrow, right? It was a bonus. So Mike McLean, a former confidant to House Speaker Michael Madigan, made reference to a rape in Champaign that nobody, as far as I know, nobody knew about. And the allegation in the email or the statement in the email that he said was that top aides to Pat Quinn should give a break to some unknown bureaucrat in the Quinn administration who had done, gotten in trouble, but we should give him leniency because he helped cover up this rape in
Champaign.
And now.
Yeah. And then there was some talk about ghost payrolling, mm-hmm. I believe so too. So WBZ broke the story. I believe they got the letter, got a hold of the letter. It was an email, sorry. It's 2020. So anyway, yesterday the latest was that House Speaker Mike Madigan said he's not going to convene a special committee. So there's some back and forth on that. And it's just, and then Governor Pritzker was asked about it. And he said that he did not hear about any sort of rape in Champaign and that, you know, they turned over this information to the proper authorities. That's the latest that we've heard, but nobody's saying anything else right now.
Well, one thing,
go ahead.
One thing I will note, and I'm just pointing this out, the different reactions that Democrats and Republicans have to accusations of rape. Mm-hmm. At least there's two very powerful figures in their own realm, one more powerful than the other. Obviously, you have Donald Trump, the leader of the free world, president of the United States, absolutely controls the Republican Party. And you have a man who is a former confidant or aide or whatever, an ally of Michael Joseph Madigan, who's perhaps the second most powerful Democrat in the state of Illinois. The Democrats at least pretend they're taking it seriously. They send out statements calling for an investigation. Republicans completely ignore the allegation that E. Jean Carroll has made.
But doesn't it matter? Doesn't it depend on who is getting accused of the sexual assault? Because Bill Clinton, when he was accused of sexual harassment, weren't the Republicans all like, yes, yeah, let's get them? And then wasn't during the debates between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, weren't some women who accused Bill Clinton
absolutely
of rape or brought in the audience and sat there? So,
and then they had a press conference.
Yeah. So I think it depends on who the accuser is.
So
I think with this case, it's like we don't know that much about what the allegations are in this alleged rape that happened in Champaign. Mm-hmm. I think if we knew more, it would be interesting to see what the reaction is between the two sides.
Well, at least the Democrats, let me put it to you this way. At least the Democrats are willing to call for an investigation. I can't think of any Republican anywhere who's calling for an investigation.
Well, it wasn't the House Republican Jim Durkin saying, oh, we need a committee. So that's what I'm just saying. Like he's saying that we need investigation. I don't know what is, you know, or we need the committee to be investigating this.
Yeah. Jim Durkin says that we need a committee to investigate the allegations. Yeah. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. We'll break that one down a little bit.
I know. Trust me. I know.
Jim Durkin is the Senate Republican, excuse me, the House Republican leader, and he's calling for an investigation into the issues raised by the revelation of Mike McLean's email. And Michael Madigan says it's too sensitive to have a committee hearing, presuming that allegations of rape would be too sensitive to address in a committee hearing, which is an interesting thought. We'll put that as, let's take that. Well, okay, yeah, let's just assume that it is too sensitive to have an open hearing about that. Although we just had the Kavanaugh hearings last year. Mm-hmm. So, but then Durkin followed by saying, oh, well, what about ghost payrolling?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty interesting. And I have to say that I got most of my information. I know Dan Miopoulos did the story, but the original story, but I did get most of my information from Tina Svandelis. And did you know Tina? This is a side note. Tina and Dan are cousins by some, like, they did some DNA testing and they found out they're related.
I did not know that.
Tina yesterday told me I pronounced Dan Miopoulos' name wrong. So I'm just letting you know, you're not the only one who pronounces.
I mispronounced his name. I mispronounced Iran. How do you pronounce D-E-S-P-L-A-I-N-E-S?
Displains.
Okay. You just mispronounced that name.
Well, how? Okay. That's true.
Okay. Clem Balanoff in the studio. He's saying, yeah, man, I took French. I took French at Bowen High School. Okay. I know how to pronounce de plaît.
Well, frequent guest Samina Mustafa, who comes here when we're younger, and she goes, you know, it's actually not Devon Avenue, it's Devon. That's how it's supposed to be pronounced. And I'm like, well, man, we call it Devon.
I'm always mispronouncing everything and getting called on it for. But I just and then there's my favorite. Here we go, Goethe.
Oh, that's Goethe, right? Goethe, or
I'm looking at Clem Balanoff. He's a distinguished graduate of Bowen High School. Is it Goethe?
I'd say it's Goethe.
He says, hey, man, Clem. He knows it's good. I'm alerting people to the fact that Clem is in the studio. We brought in Larry Kohner, who's going to be our next guest. But anyway.
To talk to people without microphones on the program. That's awesome.
Where did you get those buttons?
Just keep going.
All right. Goethe, Goethe. Anyway, all right. Enough on pronunciations. I still believe that there's a basic difference between the way Democrats and Republicans respond to accusations of rape. And doesn't seem to be a big issue in the Republican Party. That is for sure. Democrats are struggling with how they proceed. And you're absolutely correct. In the 1990s, Democrats should be ashamed of themselves for the way they buried all allegations against Bill Clinton because they thought it was far more important.
I think it depends. Remember the Anita Hill hearings? Joe Biden was part of the committee and kind of dismissed Anita Hill.
Kinda.
You could take kinda out of that sentence. I know, it did. But I'm just saying, I don't know. I think a lot of women would disagree with you, not saying it's a Democrat or Republican thing. Well, I think it depends on the situation.
No, what I'm saying
And I think
is,
it's changed. The tide has definitely changed. I don't know if you saw Harvey Weinstein. His trial started. He came in a walker, and if you saw that.
I did see that.
But, people are talking about it a lot more. But, you know, sexual harassment has been a problem for years and has been hidden by, doesn't matter what political background people had for years.
Absolutely. But I do believe that the Democratic Party in its own clumsy way is trying to deal with it. After all, Franken stepped down as senator in Minnesota. And in contrast, Roy Moore ran as the Republican standard bearer for Senate in Alabama. So I do believe that Democrats are struggling with it. But you're absolutely correct. The Democrats in the 90s with Clinton, shame on all of them. Although that's a tough struggle. How would you have gone in the 90s if you were a Democrat? Would you have voted to impeach Bill Clinton based on the evidence against him? Or would you have said, no, it's not worthy of impeachment?
I don't know. I think he deserved the criticism and I think scrutiny was definitely needed. If I don't remember what came to impeachment. I remember just being a young journalist and just reading about it, but I should have read about it more. But I think that was political too. Like the Democrats are obviously, I think it's a completely different situation with Donald Trump. I think more people would be like, yes, I think Donald Trump the impeachment hearings need to be taking place with him. But
I have to.
I think a lot of things that Bill Clinton is accused of, I think a lot of women do have problems with. I can tell you that much. Well, and I think if it was today, I bet a lot of Democrat and a lot of female lawmakers would think differently. The squad definitely might have say that he needs to be impeached, yeah. I think.
No, Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator of New York, came out with a statement that said he should have been impeached. This, she said that earlier, and there was a lot of blowback about that. But back in the 90s, Democrats, and I could tell you this, Ramona, because I was one of them, was like, oh, this is unfair. You know, they're just trying to knock down Bill Clinton. I think people have evolved to a certain degree on this issue. We'll see how it plays out here in Illinois. All right. Smollett Gate update. We've been having a lot of fun teasing Bill Conway as a bro. But you and I talk about Jussie Smollett and the update.
Yeah.
What's the update?
The latest is that there's a special prosecutor that's been assigned to the case to see how Kim Fox's office handled Jussie Smollett and the prosecution and the eventual dismissal of the charges against him. Jussie Smollett, if those of you who don't remember, was accused of faking a hate crime and saying that he was attacked by these Donald Trump supporters. Well, they were wearing MAGA hats. That's what he said. But according to what police were saying is that he made up the whole attack, wanted to get more fame. And he was an actor that was on Empire. I think that's the last season this year, or maybe it's done. I don't know. Anyway, the charges are dropped, and then there's a special prosecutor that's looking into the case. His name Dan Webb. I shouldn't say his name is Dan Webb. It's Dan Webb. And he basically, the latest is that he is seeking access to Jussie Smollett's emails, drafts, deleted messages, and even his search history and location data for Google. So I think the warrant was signed by Judge Michael Tooman. So it's interesting that he's looking for, I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff. If you know, once we get a handle of what exactly was said, what was discussed, and I don't know if you remember, but you, yes, obviously do remember, but there was a former Michelle Obama aide that was involved in, you know, a phone call that was made to Kim Fox before, you know, the allegations that Jussie Smollett was lying came out, when he was considered a victim. Yeah, mm-hmm. I forgot her name for a second. So the judge signed off on the warrant, and this is for information, Google information, between November 1st, 2018 and November 1st, 2019. Mm-hmm. So that covers time before the attack, which happened in January 2018, if I'm not mistaken, and then up until like just a few months ago. So it should be interesting.
Yeah,
this will definitely be interesting.
This will be.
I think there'll be a lot of things that come out that we know, or that we've been, you know, people have been alleging, but it'll be interesting to see what sort of information comes out, because what the prosecutors were saying is that Jussie Smollett had two personal trainers that worked in Chicago with him when he was here, and there are two brothers, and the allegations are that he had them, you know, kind of help him stage the attack. And they told police. And that's kind of like what cracked the case. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure there's going to be text exchanges between him and these two brothers, and then or Google, you know, things that he was looking up, or information about maybe Tina Chen, information that he gave to his manager. Who knows? But it should be definitely interesting. I remember the day that we got this story. This is actually reported by the Tribune first, so we do have to give them credit. We're chasing the story after they...
Do you know who broke it from the Tribune?
Megan Crapaud and... why am I forgetting his name? Jeremy Gorner.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw him at a party a couple of weeks ago. I shouldn't know his name. But anyway, those two had wrote the story, and we saw it, so we're chasing it. And so I did have another reporter call Google in California. They didn't return our calls, but we're thinking they most likely will turn it over, right? Because it's a...
I don't know. The president of the United States says he doesn't have to turn over documents that are subpoenaed by Congress, so it'd be interesting if Google has to respond.
I would think they would. I think Andy Grimm, who wrote our story, talked to a legal expert who's also a lawyer, and he said that it's most likely they probably will.
Mm.
Well, again, this isn't the case. It's not the case of the century. It's what people want to look into to see what happened at the state's attorney's office, where Jussie Smollett was charged and then had the charges automatically dropped at his first court appearance after he was charged.
Yeah, no, as we say, this is one that's not going anywhere.
No.
Particularly with the state's attorney's race coming up in March, where Kim Fox is being challenged. I think there's three people challenging her. They will be raising this. And then the Republicans will have a candidate in November. They think they could defeat Kim Fox. I stand by my prediction. Ramon, I do not think Kim Fox can be defeated.
I agree.
On this issue.
I don't know if I was going to bet. I would say that she's going to be state's attorney again.
Absolutely.
For her second term.
You cannot win. Essentially, it comes as a symbolic race. If you're, for better or for worse, the forces allied against Kim Fox are linked to Donald Trump. That's not going to get you very far in Cook County or the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
All right. Before I let you go and I bring on our next guest, who are here waiting to come on and talk politics, Ramona's recommendations. What do you got for us?
I watched Little Women last week. I know you did too. I almost came to the theater that you were watching it at, but we ended up watching. It was either Uncut Gems or Little Women. And Mick and I were having dinner in Evanston, and I'm like, well, we can eat really fast and get Uncut Gems, which I know he was dying to see. But I'm like, well, there's a 9. And he's like, we're not going to eat that fast. I'm like, well, then there's a 9:30 at Village Crossing.
Yeah.
Or we can go to 9 o'clock Little Women. And I was like, I'm not dying to see it, but I heard it's really good. So I went and saw it. I liked it. I read the book. I was telling Mick said that he never read the book, which I think is interesting because he reads a lot. And I told him, I think when I was 12, I was in India and I was in the house where my mom grew up, and a cousin of mine who's the same age as me, he gave me the book. He's like, I think you really like it. So I remember reading it in India, and I told Mike, I'm like, I don't know if I finished it, but I remember loving, I mean, every young woman that read that book identifies with Joe.
Mm-hmm, the writer.
They love it. And then after we saw the movie, Mike's like, wow, you should, he's like, a day later, he's like, I forgot to tell you, you should write a story. Because, you know, he sees me. I have two other sisters and a brother. And so he's just like, oh, you need to write something about you and your siblings.
Do you remember the 94 movie?
Yes. Mick never saw that either. Wow. He doesn't know anything about, he didn't know anything about Little Women. Yeah. So I told him it's a little, she took a little liberty in it, from what I remember. But yeah, Winona Ryder was Joe. Claire Danes was in it. She was Beth.
For 10 trivia points, who played Lori?
Christian Bale.
Very good. Wow. Now, a little known fact, Clem Balanoff, huge fan of the 1994 movie, does not really like the, just teasing Clem Balanoff. He was the one who just escorted our next guest in. I can't. Just seeing Clem brings back memories. But I got to tell you, I love the movie. I know there's this, for some reason, there's this revolt against it on the internet by men. I don't understand what that's all about.
Well, yeah. Well, I think that's why Mick never saw the 94 version, because I told him, I go, most guys aren't going to go watch Little Women. You know, they don't want to watch a movie about young women.
I don't know why. I saw that. I saw the Katharine Hepburn version, which was in 1930s.
I never saw that one.
Yeah.
I did tell Mick, I go, well, you know, I know there's a backlash of, like, women of color who feel like, oh, do we have to see another movie with a bunch of white women? Yeah. I admit, I'm not saying that. I don't feel, and then, you know, when we saw, like, the one or two black people in the movie, Mick nudges me. He goes, oh, there's a person of color. And I go, yeah, they're, like, the help or something. But
all right. I saw it. It's a great flick. I urge everybody to see it. But I'm telling you, Romana, Uncut Gems, two thumbs way up.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah, I urge everybody to see it. Adam Sandler is awesome.
We don't have time to talk about the Golden Globes, but I wanted to tell you, I wasn't offended by Ricky Gervais's comments like some people were, but I thought he was kind of funny, because I think I usually don't find him that funny. I think he's kind of annoying sometimes, and I didn't like anybody's dress. Nobody's dress really wowed me. So
what about J-Lo?
I love the way J-Lo dresses, but I didn't like the way her dress looked like a Christmas present.
Yeah,
and I tweeted that, yeah. And your favorite comedian, Tiffany Haddish, retweeted that or liked it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't
that
cool?
She liked some of my comments.
Man, you should start doing that. Get someone to retweet something you said.
When Romana told me that today, I'm like, Tiffany Haddish, and it's true, I love Tiffany. I just saw Black Mitzvah, which is her Netflix comedy special. I urge everybody to watch that.
She's hilarious. Jewish. I was reading an interview with her, and she was talking about how she's going to have a bar mitzvah.
She did have
herself.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was unfortunately not invited. But it's very funny. I've been a big fan of hers for a long time. And when I heard Romana got retweeted by, I was like, oh man, I've never been
liked, not retweeted, but liked. Oh, she liked three of my comments.
Well, Ben's not ready either.
I've never tweeted anything. Anyway, all right.
Oh, so you're saying that you have somebody else deal with their Twitter handle?
Yeah.
Because they're that important?
No, because they make me have a Twitter thing.
Anyway, next time, I think we should have a discussion about bros and hipsters.
Yes.
I have a lot to say about that.
I think we should dedicate the whole half hour to bros versus hipsters.
We have some live stream comments here helping us out more. I'm going to be reading those a little later on.
Good.
All right. Well, we'll see what our next guests have to say about bros versus hipsters. They weigh into that. We're going to be shifting gears, talking a lot about Bernie in Iowa and the upcoming presidential election. Anyway,
your girl dropped out of the race. Marianne Williamson.
Yep, that was my update there. Marianne Williamson has dropped. That's why I was looking for the button.
Oh, sorry,
that's fine.
Where's my button?
Was that supposed to be a surprise for Ben?
Man, what do you do with those buttons?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was. I can't find it.
You know, we now share this studio with Fran. She does her podcast out of here. So Dennis cleans up, or makes me clean up, everything. So the buttons, I used to have all these buttons here.
Oh, like, we got some good ones here. Check this button out. Nothing to do with Marianne Williamson.
It's been a while. Wait, where's our here you go. We got some Bernie bros in the studio. All right.
Hey, here's a flashback. I don't think you'll like that one. Hillary and Kane. Remember that guy, Kane?
Tim Kaine.
Oh, I do.
Romana, I know you were really motivated to vote 2016 when she picked Tim Kaine as her running. All right, enough throwing buttons at me. Marianne Williamson is out of the race. We have Peter Janko coming in with his mystery guest. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear are the piano stylings of Jeff Manuel. Man, listen to Jeff go. Jeff Manuel has been playing piano around Chicago for years. He's played for conventions, for celebrities, played in basement bars with blues bands. He's played at prestigious social clubs, fine restaurants, and in the intimacy of private homes. Book Jeff Manuel at jeffmanuelpianist.com. Don't worry, I'll spell his name at the end of this commercial. You know what Chicago Magazine said? They said that Jeff Manuel is, quote, as comfortable with Chopin as he is with Cole Porter. He's excellent, and his performance is joyous. He offers an elegant stream of compositions and interpretations that entertains the mind but won't hurt the ears. To hear more of Jeff Manuel's work and to book Jeff for your next event, go to jeffmanuelpianist.com. I'm going to spell it out for you, people. J-E-F-F. M as in Mary, A, N as in Nancy, U, E, L, P, I, A, N, I, S, T.com. Take it away, Jeff Manuel.